You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome back to another edition of The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. Today, as usual, I'm so excited to get to know our next guest. A guy who in my day would have been known as a big man playing in the paint, but when he's draining threes the way he usually does, there's no need for him to go inside. Don't get me wrong, he's not afraid to, but with career days like 8 for 8 from behind the arc in one game, why bang with the big boys, right? Please welcome to The Crossover, Mario Hezunya. How you doing, my man?
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hezunya, did I get it right?
Everything seems perfect.
The important thing was I nailed that, you know, because I had Thanksgiving dinner the other day with some family, some friends, and part of the people that were there were Zan Tabak and his wife, Garana.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you know. And I was like, I said, Garana, I got to get his name right. I said, send me some voice notes.
Yeah, no, it's hard. So you get the pass. Don't worry about it.
you were in the States for a long time. I'm sure they mess your name up all day long.
Every time. But after a while, you know, you just don't think it personally anymore. So it's fine.
Hey, man, my last names are Lucas. It's Arlucas, Arlaukas, yeah. Arlauskas. They call me everything.
I will say Arlauskas too. So I'm a mistake.
There you go.
So we're on the same page already, don't worry.
You know, when you get to be my age, the most important thing is that they're calling you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, just as long as they're still calling
you. For me now,
you.
It's the most important, they don't call me because it's trouble. So.
Right. Hey, look, you've been Americanized over the years, all that time. Did you and the boys from the team, OJ Mayo and John Brown, you guys do a Thanksgiving or not? Did you knock out some turkey?
I think they did. I mean, of course, I'm, you know, Croatian.
You weren't invited?
No, I was for sure. But I had, unfortunately, some other things to take care of. I had my dogs over here. So I had a lot of trouble with them. So I had to take care of them. But I think they did something. Of course, you know, they're Americans. They have their own traditions and everything. I mean, of course, when I was there, I was going crazy. I think we played in Boston for Thanksgiving, and it was crazy. I never seen so much food in my life, you know, like it was amazing. But at the same time, I was like, damn, when are we going to finish this food in a week? I thought it was a whole week celebration. It's a one day.
Hey, I spent a week in Split this year, and you guys know how to eat too.
Yeah. They go crazy too, yeah.
Hey, Dubrovnik, that's where you were born and raised, right? Nicest city in Croatia? One of the nicest cities in Croatia or the nicest?
The nicest city by far, in my opinion. Yeah, we are very, very different down there. So I usually don't like to brag about it, but you know, like when it comes to Dubrovnik, it's number one.
I didn't get up there. My next trip to Croatia, that's definitely on my list. I don't know. Every time I do one of these interviews with you guys, I'm like, all right, somewhere or another by then, I'm going to get myself invited to, like, you know, your place for dinner or whatever.
Yeah, I got you for the summer day.
Hey, growing up there, tell me a little bit about, you know, family, mom and dad, brothers, sisters.
Yeah, obviously tough right after the war, you mm-hmm. know, wasn't easy. It wasn't anything like sweet. I have a sister also. So, you know, my both parents born and raised in the city, obviously going through all the good times and bad times of that city.
Right.
And, you know, basically sport saved us. So in basketball, in my father's case was water polo. He was the best goalkeeper of Croatia, the best goalkeeper of the national team there. And the war came and, you know, his world fell apart. But, you know, I'm glad that I got to keep our last name, you know, out and, you know, like through the sport, you know, get to see the world, get out of the city, get out of the country, you know. So it's a blessing for an entire family that I got to do what I love.
You know, it's funny you said that because I spent 3 days on a boat with the Tabaks when I was in Split. And they had me out there playing water polo.
Yes. We have like a league. We have a whole league back in my hometown in the summer. Like you have to play. If you don't play, we don't take you serious. We don't take you as one of our
If you
own,
don't you play, know? You're not Croatian, right?
Yeah. If you don't do this, you know, you don't get to see other good things, you know. So, but it's very hard.
Did you do that before basketball?
Yes, I, you know, like at one day my father came to me and say, hey, like you, I know you want to play everything and I know you're good at all of these sports, but at one day you have to choose what you want. You want to go to, you know, like college and like finish like something, you get a degree or something, or like you want to focus on one sport. But right. then if you focus on sport, you have to choose one. You can't be playing many of them, because I was at the time being selected for a handball team, for a soccer team, and for a basketball team. And I had so many practices at the, in a day that I would change right. sports. I didn't even know what sport I played anymore, you know? So it was, one day I just had to choose what I want to do.
But don't you think in a way for athletes, it's good to play a lot of different sports because yes. of the technical issue of it,
yes.
your hand-eye yes, coordination, your footwork.
Yes, yes, yes. I think especially for us, soccer, you know, like mm-hmm. the agility, you know, the stamina, the footwork, I think it's very, you know, important, you know. And then of course you get in my case it was a handball, you know, so also you get used to tackles, to contact. It's kind of like what Americans like to play, the American football, you know. So that's for us, it's
the physicality handball. Of handball yes. helps in basketball when you're getting
yes 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 tremendously yeah. So I think, you know, it helped me a lot, you know, like especially in those early years when you're a kid, everything sticks to you, the good things, you know, the stuff that you learn. And then, you know, like the, if you have that talent for the sports, you know, everything is, you know, always sticks to you, in my opinion, you know what I mean? So you use some stuff that I was good at in soccer, I use in, exactly. in basketball, which makes no sense when I'm telling you like this, but in basketball court, when you're running and the football just picks up,
yeah,
it's very helpful.
No, I get it. I was the same way. I played all different sports and I always felt like each one helped me in the other one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
About when did the NBA come a dream for you? And when did from turn from a dream into like, not that reality?
That was always like the question, you know, like when you go to NBA, you know, you have to answer these questions. So yeah, my dream was this and this, but it's not like this, you know. I was never dreaming. I was never, oh, I want to do this. I just wanted to play. I wanted to right. enjoy. I wanted to be better than anyone I play against. And I wanted to be to win, you know, to be the best, you know. And it was, the life was just taking me places. And the one day I just got drafted, you know, that's the most honest and most realistic mm-hmm. story, in my opinion. You know, I was never thinking, you know, I was going to, you know, I'm in Croatia now, but tomorrow, guys, you're going to see me in NBA. I think that's very not humble, first of all. And I think that's skipping steps, you know what I mean? You're focused on something that is in future, and I'm not focused that I'm realistically player for Croatia at that time, and that I have to first dominate in Croatia to get to Europe, and then dominate in Europe to get there, you know what I mean? Of course, I was getting, you know, I was excelling at the steps, so I was mm-hmm. even taking two steps ahead. I was already ready for NBA at a certain right. time. That was very, you see, rarely, so I left to NBA immediately. But, you know, I was always, you know, to that type of questions, I was never, you know, oh, Joe, at this time, I really knew I was going to be to NBA. You know, I never had that.
I get that. It's kind of what happened to me. It just kind of like came upon yeah. me. And
yeah.
But when was it when you were like, when you like woke up one day, you looked in the mirror like, oh, shit, this, I might have this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I never had that thought process in me, you know
come
what
on,
I mean?
Man.
I
was always come on. Hey, this is the crossover. This isn't any other like interview.
Yeah, but I know that's what I'm telling you, the truth. I don't want to be BS. That's why. I never had it. I really never had it. Like it was when it became reality, it was normal to me. But when it wasn't reality to me, I wasn't thinking about it at all. I wasn't thinking like, damn, like, okay, like today I'm doing this, but tomorrow I'm gonna be playing with, I don't know, against Kobe's, LeBron's, and this and that. I didn't care for them. I didn't care for that, like, next right. level, you know what I mean? I just wanted to dominate my level where I was at.
You went to Zagreb, which I'm assuming yeah. from Dubrovnik, that had to be yeah. like the you know, that had to be like the,
oh my god,
place to go.
That was a transition, man. I remember I landed to Zagreb and I went with my mother there because they didn't let me go by myself, which is probably the smartest thing they ever like done, and the smartest thing that these parents do nowadays with these young kids, because I've seen so many bad examples when they came alone, especially my teammates back there in Zagreb. He went south for them very, very quick, you know, because Zagreb is no joke.
I mean, city, you know, and you're only 12 years old at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually 14. I was just finished my primary school. Okay. You know? But still, you're a kid, you know. Trust me, I know so many people out there. If you don't have any self-control, if you're not growing faster than your generation, that generation pulls you down very quick, you know. So, but long story short, I got there with my mother and I look at the building where they put me, and I was looking like, there is no way I'm going to live here, there is no way I left Dubrovnik for this, blah blah blah, whatever. But it ended up being three best years of my life there. Right. I really, you know, grew, and as a person, as a player, as a teammate, everything, you know, like I really, really had a great system behind me and a great coach, Andrei Tesla, behind me. And, you know, he's, you know, I give a big thanks to him. You know, we won a lot of trophies with that generation. And, you know, he was like our second father to all of us there. And a lot of guys excelled under him.
You mentioned that a lot of people went south while they were there, you know, young kids, you know, being put out there, I guess. But I mean, how many, this is one that always makes me laugh, you know, how many players do you think you played with that might have had more talent than you, or had more talent than you at the time?
None. The talent and the work, none.
You don't think there's anybody that could have made it if they didn't go south?
Yes, a lot of them. Mm. A lot of them, but not not more talented, not more hardworking, but a lot of good players.
Right.
A lot of good players. A lot of them I'm born 95, so I came directly at the generation 92.
Right.
And then 92, 93 generations in Croatia, we have, I mean, ballers. Like,
some
not
of the
players,
best.
Ballers. From
best.
Dubrovnik, from Zadar, from Zagreb, those guys at that time, you know, I was a kid, so I'm looking up to them. I'm like, you know, these guys are very, very, very good. Like, I have to, you know, get better to even get to play with them, not to be better than them, you know. So that generation is very, very serious what we got. Very, very serious. But, you know, as I tell you, you know, in some coach don't trust, in some they cannot afford to stay in Zagreb anymore. The ones that are in Zagreb, they start to mess around, and then it's company out, drinks, drugs, you know how it goes. So, you know, there's a lot of bad examples, but also there's a lot of good ones. But you know how it is. The mathematical thing is always rarely guys make it, and
exactly.
A lot of guys don't make it. So it's unfortunate, but you know, you have to be different.
Name a couple of those players that you looked up to.
I had Gordan Zadravec. Who was good there? There was a generation, Tony Katic. He was with me in the national team right now in Split when we played the qualifications. He was unbelievable at that time. We had Tony Prostran. I think he's a little bit older than that, but he had bad situations with the injury. Amazing player. We had at that generation, Naev was a great center at the time. I mean, of course, we had Dario was with me. He was 94
Charge.
Born. Dario, he was the second youngest. I was the youngest at that team. We were 94, 95 playing with the 92. And then
what about those old Yugoplastica guys and all that? I mean, who those are guys that you, did you watch them when you were young?
No, that was gone.
They were gone by then.
When I was growing up, there was a Goodyear league.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And, Zadar and Split, Cibona, they were even Zagreb.
Yeah.
They were top teams, you know, if not top four, they were top top five, top six teams. But, you know, now I look at the table out there and I see, I cannot believe what's going on without basketball.
It's sad. I played in EuroLeague playoffs against Cibona, you know, and those teams.
Yes. I remember Barcelona used to go play them and it was a tough game, but now, you know, they don't even play like Europe. You know, it's so weird.
Did your mom go with you to Barcelona?
Yeah, that was a transition too. We didn't have nothing when we got there. I was like, I'm a Barcelona player. I don't have anything over here. I live like I don't belong here at all.
What was the harder transition?
I mean, of course, it's like a language barrier.
Right.
You know, they're not very different than than us, but it's with the language is totally different. But you know, there was, we had, when we got there, we had no money basically. Like we didn't know like how we gonna, we had nothing in apartment, but we can't buy anything because the money, like we didn't have it right away at the transaction. We didn't have a bank set up yet because, you know, I just got there.
And anybody who's come to live in Spain knows getting a bank account is not the easiest thing in the world to do either.
True that also, especially with their weird ways of explaining stuff. But whatever, like for the first month, it was rough. But then later on, I was perfectly fine. And my father came, my sister also came.
And when you say came, they came to live with you.
Yeah.
And what was it like? I mean, it had to be strange because, I mean, Barcelona invested a lot in you, bringing you over at the age of 17, I guess, and being this promising player. Did you feel any pressure at all, like being brought over like that?
No, because I was with the junior and I was with the second team first. Mm-hmm. So my transition went very smooth, and I think they were very smart for doing that.
Right.
And then my second year, I got into the first team. But they brought some players that were playing in front of me. So it was like, you know, up and down entire year. And then third year, I was playing much more. You know, of course, they were trying to hide me from NBA to not let me go, blah, blah, blah. You know how this all goes. But I was having more opportunity with Xavi, you know, to play. So it was a smooth transition after that.
Talk to me about I mentioned it earlier in the present day, in the opening, 8 for 8 from the 3-point line.
Yeah, that was against Manresa. I think it was, you know, it was, I didn't know because after the game, I had to go to studio to have an interview that was already prepared like a week before, because I think before I had the double double, which was like the youngest guy to do double double, whatever. So I think they organized the interview for this, if I'm not mistaken. And then this happened, and in my opinion, I was, you know, just making threes, you know, like nothing is special going on. But when I saw it was like actually 8-8, I think I was one away for a record or something. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because then Jacob Pullen, you know, set the record like a couple weeks after in Valladolid. He shot, I think, 11 of them or 10 of them or something. So that was a very special year there.
What about that first moment in EuroLeague? Can you remember in Barcelona playing? Well, you played played 22 EuroLeague games your first year.
I think we played in Turkey my first game. It might have been FS, but I just got at the end of the game in nothing. So, but it was a learning experience. You know how it is. You know, in European basketball is very, very, very different. You know, I think you learn every single detail here, and every single detail matters. The game, as soon as it starts, is okay. Winning, only winning matters, and it's very you know, high tempo. It's very, you know, physical, you know, it's, people want to win here. You know, it doesn't matter how you look, how many you score, how many you rebound, how many you pass, you just win. And it was a learning experience, and I'm very thankful that I had Xavi there, because I mean, one day I'm sitting at the video and I'm looking at this scouting, it's like the board was so full that it was the biggest board that I've seen in my entire 12 years of school. Like, I've never seen this, like, this board filled with so many information. I tell to Justin Dolman, he was at the four with us. I say, Justin, like, how the hell you remember all of this? There is no way. I don't even know what we started to talk about. Like, and I'm still sitting here. I'm still looking. I have no idea what's going on over here. So I'm very thankful that even to me, that now that I know exactly what team plays, their place, their characteristics, everything, that I really take pride in knowing that. It's very important that I started like this with Xavi, you know, because Xavi is very, very good coach, and he takes pride in preparing the games. And I never seen anyone in NBA prepare like him.
Yeah, he's extremely detailed, man. He's like all about the details.
To the point, everything. And after a little bit, you know, he sent me home one time because that was a funny situation. I always say to these guys when they come from America, like, don't get upset by the coaches here, because that's how it is. I have Shadas playing pick and roll with Ante Tomic, and Ante rolls, and I'm tagging him from the strong side, which is not supposed to happen. And I'm trying to contest Navarro. And I actually block him a little bit, tip the ball. And Xavi stops the practice. What the hell are you doing? What, who do you think you are? What do you think this is? Fuera. And he's,
get he's you sending out. Home.
So that, you know, at the time, it's very, I was sad, you know, like, why am I going off the practice? Why is this happening to me? Blah, 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 all this, whatever. But it's very important that that happened to me at a young age, because now, like, I know how serious I have to be and how to prepare the games, because every position, every ball matters on the court. You know what I mean? Because this is a very different game.
That's a great thing about EuroLeague. It's like,
yes. And I'm very, very thankful to Xavi that I actually had him show me, you know, because I came in as a talent. I say, guys, give me the ball and get out of my way and I'll show you how to play basketball. But this is not basketball. This is not like 105. It's not basketball. So I'm very thankful that I had him to show me actually how to bring the talent to a team and play as a team, you know, and function and knowing the stuff, like how we want to play, how we want to guard.
Although you keep talking about Xavi, and there, you through my research and everything, there was a report that you guys had like a miscommunication or something about you going
all the time
to the draft all of the NBA. Time. Is there any truth to that? I mean, Xavi looks like a straight up guy to me.
All the time, but there was not miscommunication. I think he will tell you this. I think of all of the players that he had in his entire career, I was the most in his office, double. I was every week I was in his office. I get fined for, you know, talking crap to opponent players, talking crap to in the opposite arenas. I get fined for everything. I on a practice, I don't guard the center. Like when I switch, I get fined. I was getting fined for whatever. But, you know, I think he had a certain special way to raise me. And I think he did a good job at that level, you know, because, you know, I came in as a little kid that has a lot of talent and, you know, there's best of his generation, but now it's time to play serious basketball. So I think he was the best for me to make that transfer from the, you know, youth to a serious team.
I love the fact that you warn the Americans when I come over about the coaches, because it is.
Yeah, I have to. I see it all the time because they're not used to it, which is normal, you know. But ironically, the biggest irony of our sport is that these coaches here
are the most successful. NBA. Yeah, exactly.
They fit NBA. And NBA coaches fit here to this lifestyle.
Let's be honest. You think Sardes or Shelko would be able to coach an NBA team?
He's getting punched on second practice and he's getting fired in the third game. In NBA. That's the honest.
Yeah, but I feel like those guys are so good at what they do, they'd be able to adapt and adjust, but
I know, but I'm saying like the way it's not because how good the Željko Šaras are, it's how the other guys react. You know what I mean? It's not the Željko and Šaras are never the problem. That's how it's supposed to be, but it's a different story out there. But you know, I also think, you know, at one point they should be given a chance, you know, at least to try, you know. But you see, I mean, with other European coaches, you know, it's not very, you know, as assistants, as a guys that are around the NBA team, okay. But in a main role, it's very, very hard.
I mean, a great example was David Blatt when he went to Cleveland.
Yeah, true that. You can't say stuff. I was just watching video right now of our game against Milano here, and Mr. Ettore is going crazy on a sideline, which is, guy shows a passion for the sport. He won. I don't know what he didn't want. It's easier to speak to about what he didn't want than what he won. But he shows that passion there. And like guys in there, like whatever happens on the court, they sit on that bench and they're like, you know, like this. If something bad happens, they're like this. If something good happens, they're like this. You know, it's a show. It's entertainment. You know, there is not a lot of, you know, emotion into it. There is not a lot, you know, stuff that you see in EuroLeague.
So did the family head with you to Orlando?
Early on, yes. I think my first year, yes. And then I ended up getting my house there.
Then you're like, hey, mom and dad, I'm all right now. I'm an NBA player.
No, I'm never like that. I like him. I like him with me. Like, I don't have problems like that. I don't mind at all. But I have him. I just said, however you guys want. So they were like in and out all the time. They come for 6 months, they're out for 6 months. You know, they were basically based on visa, they were traveling.
What's the first year like? You're a young guy, rookie season. I mean, it's a decent season. You set a career high 21 points against the Bulls in one game. You know, you played in 79 games in April. You set a career high in steals and assists. And in your mind, was it a successful season, or did you feel like you could have given more? You could have.
None of them were successful, in my opinion, and I think I could have done so much more. Now, first year, I think if Skal stays, I think I excel. But we will have to get rid of a lot of pieces on that team because Skal was a very unique coach. He was a unique player.
That's one of my questions for you. I grew up with Scott. Scott and I had the same agent.
He's a great guy. He's crazy, which I love. But
is he still crazy?
I mean, we are all crazy. But his craziness is positive. You know, he's not. There is no negativity to it, and he knows how to play, and he knows how to coach. But his tendencies were European. So only Vucevic, Fournier, and I could understand him, you know, to the point, you know. And the practices were very European. So those Americans, you know, they really didn't get along with that type of approach and everything. And the season was, you know, going up and down, up and down. And I just get a call. The next summer, I get a call from the GM, say, hey, like, he's so excited. You know, we fired the coach. You know, he left us. We're going to hire a new coach. I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess. Yeah, sure. And then after they hired Vogel, and then Vogel calls me, hey, Mario, you know, we're going to play so fast. We're going to be in playoffs. We're going to shoot a lot of threes and all of that. So I said, coach, did you watch any of our games last season? This is not a single point of what you said that we do in an actual basketball game. No, and we are light years from the playoffs. So yeah, it was, you know, like, I don't think that was structured very well. I don't think we were up to the, not the, I mean, also competitive, but not to the structural. We were not to the point with other teams. Yeah. You know, I think other teams had so many more resources where we were like, you know, just a brand new team in NBA. So that didn't help at all because, you know, I got injured then, you know, and then I was carrying my injury through those first two seasons. Then I had to step out, do my old rehabilitation, do the PRP, do the injection shots and never then rest. And, you know, so I was slowly building myself up.
Right.
You know, the most ready I was in New York and Portland. But those were like the two worst situations for me. So the whole, how many years was I even there? Four or five years. It was, you know, it's not realistical, the output I give on the court. And it's like constantly going through, like, you know, the politics, this and that, like, you know, like, so I really wasn't gonna, the one thing I really did good there is I wasn't really gonna pay attention and go into the stuff. Hey, why am I not this? Why you guys do this? I was really quiet. I learned the business at a very young age, which I'm thankful that I have people behind me, my manager, my agent, you know, that really, you know, advise me to do the right stuff. You know, hire your chef, hire your trainer, hire your basketball coach, hire your weight room coach, hire your yoga coach. I hired all of those people. I started to spend more money on myself than ever, you know, because right. I don't shop. I don't, you know, I buy a car and I hire a coach. Right. That's all I was doing. So I really invested in myself, and it, you know, I think it's paying off now, you know, because now I get to play. Now you see, oh, he's athletic. Well, no crap. Like, I was working, you know what I mean? Right. So he can shoot. No, because I was doing that stuff. So it really, I couldn't put the product of my work into the NBA season, but I never complained about it. I never cried about it. I just kept doing more. I kept doing more because I knew, like, with my talent and with my abilities, the day will come. So I just have to be ready for my opportunity, for my team, where I'm going to have a role like I have now, that I'm going to excel under the coach that gives me the role. And it's happening, you know.
It's crazy how, like, you know, then you went to New York, then you went to Portland. Yeah. You know, you moved around a lot.
And I hate that.
Yeah, it's we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But it's funny how, like, when you said you didn't dream about playing in the NBA, but I think at one point or another, everybody thinks about, you know. To me, it was like, I didn't think about it, but when it happened. And then you're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And then, like you said, all the BS that goes with it. Because as a kid, you're like, you're dreaming about winning the championship and hitting that last minute shot when you're on a court by yourself, like, working out.
Oh yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, that's one thing that's true.
And nowhere in your dream are you thinking about a team not like picking up your contract and you'd be moving from one place, then all of a sudden you're in a three-way trade and you're like, what the hell? This is not my dream.
Yes, that's the true feeling, you know, what you said. But I wasn't thinking, you know, like what team and it's NBA coming and did I never had those. But the second shots, oh yeah, I had plenty of those.
You're just sitting out on the court by yourself and you know. And when you missed the last second shot, you got fouled. So you have to go to the foul line and, you know, finish it out. That's how I used to do it.
Yeah. You add extra 5 seconds just for yourself. So
exactly.
You can take another one.
Exactly. The end of your NBA career, I want to wrap it up quick, kind of. What was your final feeling? Like, man, when you left,
I know
you talked about being in the bubble and obviously that was a difficult situation. I think there's a difficult situation for everybody, not just yourself, but each person lives their own moment, especially when you're an athlete. You know, you have that where you're in your closet by yourself. And you said that you were done. What, you were just done with basketball? You were done with the
done
NBA?
With everything. Damn it. And I don't think people take this seriously, you know, like we see a lot of, you know, players come out, some for publicity, some for real reasons, you know, you never know, you can never judge. But we don't take players like serious and we don't pay close attention to how they feel and what they actually say.
Are you talking about the mental aspect? That's
that was also the part. I never had a problem with that, but I was just fed up with the BS that you and I were mentioning, because, you know, I had a feeling that I went to the bubble just because some players declined to play.
You didn't really have a chance in the bubble either, did you? You just had to go and like...
No, but like we won the first game. We got into the playoffs. We win the playoff tournament against Memphis and we got into playoffs. But I think, you know, people were more satisfying to get in the playoffs than actually win in the playoffs. That was that mentality there, because they were stacking playoffs in the year. And like, that's like accomplishment for them, whatever. But it was a good group. And after that season stopped in March 10th, you know, we couldn't get in the gym for like 2 months. And the first players that got back was Dame, CJ, Nurk, me, the rookies. And a couple more guys, but it wasn't, you know, it was very weird, you know, the gloves, the mask, one player per basket, this and this, whatever. But I came in there and I see they're killing me. Everybody else is shooting and I'm over here running full court, this and this. Only I have a full court. Everybody else has a half. So I'm okay. Like, I'm very, you know... I think a lot about you know, what can probably happen, and this is actually good. They're trying to tell me something without saying it, so I'm getting a feeling that I'm gonna be important piece for the bubble. You know what I mean? And you know, long story short, we had a couple of declines for the team, and I, you know, as much as I hated that they're giving me this opportunity just because somebody declined, that they don't see that I'm actually better than whoever, right? I was, you know, had the anger in me that I'm going to play even better and I'm going to show it. But we got in a bubble. I had a very, you know, good beginning of the bubble there. We played extremely well. We won that tournament. But I think like when the playoffs started, I think they, you know, our coaches there, they, when something is not going their way, they just shrink. They shrink themselves emotionally and, you know, they shrink their abilities, but they also shrink the team. They always tend to go to something that was proven to work for them in previous years.
Right.
And it was constantly, you know, some, you know, negativity going on, which I don't like at all having around my team. And, you know, it was not going well for us. Then we won the Lakers first game and we lost 4 in a row, whatever. And long story short, after that, I just said, because I live there, I live in Orlando, I just told my sister, just, you know, pick me up. I'm ready to leave, like right after the dinner. Because we came back, we lost the game, dinner. I think I didn't even go to dinner. I just went straight to the car, straight home. And I was completely off the grid. I even told my manager, I'm done with this. You can focus on other players. Don't focus on me. I'll be all right. Don't worry about it. But they're all smiling a lot because, you know, I guess with my mentality of who I am all the time, when I say something serious like this, the first couple of times is a joke, you know, but it wasn't no joke. And for 2 months, nothing. I'm still a player of Blazers because of the second year. I had an option to pick it up, but I say this is, you know, for me, this is a no. Like, you know, you can do all this business with them, whatever you want. And from September 1st to November 1st, I didn't do nothing. I was just in a weight room and I was just doing my yoga. I was meditating, and that was all I was doing for myself, stretching and all that. And in November, I said, you know what, like, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to start practicing. And I came first November to the gym. I swear to God to you, I felt like I never stopped playing basketball. And that also, like, showed me how much importance has the mental aspect of the game, how much mentally you're ready, how much, you know, you take care of yourself mentally, like, you know, like all the other stuff. You know, for me, in my entire life, it's just the ball. I have to put the ball in a hoop. If I put the ball in a hoop, I'm the best player. If I don't put the ball in a hoop, I'm the worst player. That was the whole philosophy of basketball. But this showed me that, you know, how there is other pieces that you have to put together to excel and to get to the point where you want to be in life, in a career, whatsoever. And after that, it was, you know, I really started to get my enjoyment of the game back, because I was playing with my boys in, you know, Courtney Lee was there. A couple other NBA players were coming to play with us. And we were constantly playing every day, 5-on-5. And I was playing my game. I was enjoying. We were competing. I told them, like, guys, this basketball that we just play here is the best basketball I played my whole 5 years in NBA. So this says something for yourself too. So I really enjoyed that time that I took for myself. Of course, later on, they told me, hey, you traded this and this. I figured out 3 weeks after. They say, oh, why you don't answer? My guy, I didn't even know for your trades or for you or anything. I'm sorry. I apologize, but I have to take time for myself. So, yeah, long story short, I say I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just going to have a whole year. Initially, I say I'm going to have a whole year for myself. I want to get my, you know, groove and, you know, the just basically all the passion back, because it was really draining. And I felt like the person that I am, it's impossible to drain it. But of course, like, when a lot of BS is happening and a lot of negativity, like, even the most, the biggest ones get drained. So, yeah, so it was unfortunate, but I went back at it. And then the call from Powell came. And, you
know. That was my next line.
Yeah.
Why are you such a big Panathinaikos fan?
Crazy, man, crazy. You know, like, it was always love between us, that we always had that connection. I loved the fans, you know, since I was a kid. And then, of course, through my NBA career, I watched more EuroLeague basketball than that there. So, you know, of course, I was watching Pau. You know, Nick was playing there. They had the good Deshaun Thomas was there also. He was my teammate in Barcelona. So I had reasons to follow the team. And I think they were, you know, Xavi went there. So, you know, and I was posting a lot about them. And, you know, I was very happy that they came to me and they asked me, hey, do you want to... my agent told me that they thought it was a joke, that, like, how is it possible that I want to come there? Like, what do you mean, how is it possible? Like, I'm flying tomorrow if you need it. So it was on my birthday too. So it was very, very, one of the most special moments in my life, for sure.
Researching you and learning about you, because I didn't know too much about you before you came back into the EuroLeague. And researching you, you seem like, other than extremely confident, I guess sometimes even, like, some people would say arrogant, you know, because you
think a lot of people say that because they cannot think of anything else.
But I mean, that's the when I played, I was the same way. There was, like, you know, I felt the same way no matter what.
That's not the bet.
But it's interesting to me. The most interesting thing I think I found out about you is that you have a desire to be in one place. A deep down desire just to say, okay, this is, I want to open up my suitcase. I want to put all my clothes into the drawer. I want to hang all my stuff up.
Yeah.
I want to put my trophies on a wall, and I want to be here forever. But at this point of your career, that's not happening. You've been to, like, eight different teams.
And Joe, the more I thrive for this and the more I ask, for that, the more I change. And I hate change.
Your mentality changes about that, or what do you mean by changing?
It did forcefully. It did, and you know, I can roll with anything. I really get used to the bads, the goods, the everything, and at any place, anywhere in the world, I always did, and I always will. But I just don't like the, because my thought for me was like, man, when I see myself, I'm retired. I'm not playing anymore. I want to see my first name, my last name, my only one number. Okay, maybe this because I'm 8 at the national team. So they will see 11 and 8, no more numbers. They will see one team for 20 years, and they will see multiple trophies and accolades down there. That was my photo of myself. But then, you know,
that was like what I talked about, the NBA dream, where you're like, you're gonna be, you know. And it just doesn't work that way, unfortunately, in this business.
And you get moved places and all this. And the first thing out there, you know, like my first ever trade deadline in March, you know, was in March, February, March or something. And they're all on the phones. Players are like this, walking through a hallway and all this. And I'm over here walking. I don't give a damn. I say, guys, I'm not a tradable player. If you trade me, you lose. You know, I was with this European mindset about it. I don't care about trades, whatever. But later on, it becomes reality. It's really hard to be an NBA player, you know, in those terms. You never know something can happen. And they really, like, have this switch. On a switch, you're gone or something. You know, it can happen to anyone. You know, you see all these stars that were, you know, Wall, Cousins, they don't even play anymore. Like, because, you know, teams just go a different direction.
Unfortunately, it takes until about then for you to realize it's not a sport anymore. It's a business.
Especially there.
Yeah.
Here it is still.
It's like 50-50 still.
Yes,
you know.
He got worse, but it's been the business. And that's, I was even having fights with my agent and manager, like, what do you guys know about this? This is about basketball, you know, like, but it's maybe 1% about basketball. And it's sad, but it's a reality.
So, man, you finally get to your dream team, and just what the hell happened? I read it all. I know the team didn't talk to you guys and so on and so on. Yeah. I have a couple things to say about that. But to me, again, as I just said, you look like a guy who wants to be in one place.
Yeah.
Not only do you want to be in one place, but there was one place that you really wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you leave. You understand, but it doesn't make sense to me, right?
It doesn't make sense to me to this day. It doesn't make sense at all. But we had a very unique connection there. You know, the players, we were all together. And, you know, Fraggy is there. Dimitris is there. Nikos is there. You know, like the group was connected, and I think we got more connected because of the bad times, because Panathinaikos is not a team for the bottom of the EuroLeague. Panathinaikos, the worst, is top four, the worst. So we got connected, you know, we talked about everything. You know, of course, Greece is also for me considered Balkans with our mentality too, so you can really 100%, you know, just trust into one thing and go in the one direction. There's also always a second direction.
Of course.
There. But it wasn't, you know, I even got to them. I went there personally to speak to them. And I say, guys, you know, I don't know what you think. Maybe you see me as an NBA player, as this and this, but I want to win with Panathinaikos and I want to come back. This is in April. This is in May. Yes, okay. We already had, everything was done. Everything was basically, you know, we will do this. And the summer started, the national team started, and, you know, nobody's calling. Also, I said that I'm going to make decision the last one, that I'm going to, I committed, but I'm going to make my decision last because I want to see what type of a team we are preparing. What are we doing? Because I see that they are maybe not bringing Katash, which was a good coach for me. He was a good coach for us. He was a player. I love those player coaches.
Right.
But I see there is that they are, you know, they might change, they might do this, they might bring new players, whatever. So in that, that's why I specifically said this in my last interview there, that I'm going to be last to make a decision, right? But, you know, the June is passing, nobody's saying nothing, July is almost passing, in mid-July, whatever, some pressure starts to build up, you know, I want to come back. Why is this not already done? Like, what's going on?
When you say already done, you weren't signed yet.
Yeah, I wasn't. It was, even my manager and my...
You verbally committed to them.
Yes, but I'm not supposed to be doing this because I'm putting myself in a bad place. But
right.
For Panathinaikos and for people there, I'm doing this because I don't care. I said no to everyone here. And I said no to everyone in NBA. I have no interest of doing anything. You know, I just want to go there because I felt home there. But the time was passing and passing, and, you know, from nothing, the offer came totally something different of what we were talking. On top of that, the other players were signed. But, you know, there is, you know, we don't have this and this. We don't have these resources. We don't have this. And I still, with all of this, my manager was, they were already gone with that stuff. They were already next page. But I was still like, I'll bring that page back. You know, I still wanted to do this. But I think it was not a good option on those terms to go there because they wouldn't see the basketball side of me, which is why I'm going there. It will be for something completely different that I'm not very good at. And something that I'm not also to the point even interested. You know I bring a lot of people together with the name and the attraction and this and the basketball and everything. But, you know, my main focus is basketball. And, I have to commend again the Unix. You know, they were from day one, they were the most serious. They were always there, whatever I needed. They were very professional with me. And they were the most important. They were very honest with me. We want you for this, this, and this. Also, having Coach Perasovic help, because he told me strictly, this is what I want, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do with you. And I had the plan, I have a vision now that what I'm going to be doing, which is basically what I'm doing now. But with the other side, I had nothing. I don't know how this team is going to end up looking. We have a couple new players in front of Pop, in front of me, already signed, and now we're going to decide with Giannis and me at the end, like Dino's already left, so it was a mess. I don't think I'm not even blaming them. Maybe everything went, you know, through their hands. They had no control of everything. It's a very bad situation in terms of. I mean, it's hard for them. You know what I mean? It's not the season from for what they wished. The last season also when we were there, it's a very hard situation. But, you know,
is it difficult for you to see them at the bottom of the table now, or is it somewhat?
Yes. I saw it, and it's, you know.
But doesn't it give you a feeling like you made the right decision?
I mean, because I'm not looking at it from that point, because I'm looking at it from the point where I'm like, damn, I'm like, I made a bad decision because now they're almost last, and I'm not helping with this, what I did, you know what I mean? I was looking at it from more like honest, from more like caring perspective, you know what I mean? But from the realistically and for like career-wise, selfish-wise, and pretty much everything-wise, other than caring, I made the best what is for me, for my career, for my life, for everything, you know what I mean? Now, of course, you know, like people are also like, oh, money, this and this. This was like the money was like the last of the things that we discussed. That was not even the, because I really didn't care in my mind. I'm in Europe. There is COVID. There is this. There is that. Like if I'm asking for money from team in Europe, first of all, I'm absurd. I'm an asshole because I'm not in a point with what's realistic or these times in Europe. You know what I mean? And then, like, second of all, like, you have to be, you know, realistic of where you're coming from to what you are coming to. You know what I mean? So it was unfortunate that it was a total, total mess. And then at the end of that month in July, I had to really say, okay, stop with this. And I had to do what's the best for me. So sad, but true.
Two quick questions. Is the NBA in your future, or are you here to stay?
I'm not thinking about it at all. I know a lot of, you know, I see a lot of those scouts. They think they're slick with their with their glasses and their hats and everything. But I mean, after 5 years, you can recognize every American in your facility. So, you know, I know there's going to be interest. I know there's going to be opportunity and everything. I'm not thinking about it at all because I know it's going to be always there. But, you know, this style, this role is what I always wanted. Maybe it's crazy to say, but it's what I always deserve with my work and my, you know, approach to this sport. So I'm really thriving in it. I'm really, you know, expanding my game. I'm getting better. I'm also very, you know, one of the biggest points was also like to show the leader characteristics, you know, because some of the guys are born with it. And, you know, to some, you also have to go through a lot of bad situation. You know what I mean? You have to, for me, like, I think like all of my, you know, I think I was born with it, with, you know, the passion and like, come on, you know, like always bringing the best out of the guys, but, you know, and out of me to help the guys. But when you go through certain situations in your life, you really, you know, have compassion and empathy for other teammates and other players, that where you exactly know what to tell him and what not to tell him, and when is the time to tell him, when is not the time to tell him, and bring the whole team together, you know what I mean, for one goal, which is to win.
I think most people are not born leaders.
That's, yeah.
The people, the people become leaders over time, and it comes with experience. It comes with having the confidence of the people around you. So, you know, there's a lot of people that can lead but never get the opportunity to also, because they never put themselves in that position.
I believe that. I really, really believe that. Especially after, I mean, when I get to my situation now, I really believe is, you know, you become a leader rather than I am a leader. You know what I mean? With no background.
It's just like anything else. I mean, you were born, you were probably born to be a basketball player, but if you never found a basketball, you would have never developed that skill.
Also, I believe that Lillard is born like that. I really believe that.
Yeah.
Because think about it, like maybe he had obstacles in his college career and everything, but the NBA career is going pretty smooth for my eyes. But he is one of the top. I learned so much in 1 year there, and especially when Melo came. You know, people were like, why are you so happy that Melo is coming? He's literally coming in front of you to play in front of you. And I said, that's exactly why I'm happy, because he's going to play in front of me. I'm getting to study him, how he does everything and how he is in a locker room, what he does off the court. And on top of this, I have Damian there too, and CJ. So it was the best year in my NBA career, just learning. I was literally like scouting every single move that they did.
It's crazy that we've been talking like for over an hour or close to an hour now. And it seems like you're like 34 years old and you're still only at 26. You know, it's kind of nuts. But
yeah.
Hey, my second question to that part before we get into Unix and then our test is, what would it take to go back to Panathinaikos?
I mean, that was for me, nothing, because that's my team. Those are my people there. I'm not asking anything for them, you know, out of them, you know. For me, that's always one place that I consider home, you know what I mean? It's very, very unique situation. And, you know, it's a no-brainer for me, you know, that's very easy. But, you know, I have to do what's best.
Let me ask you, if you had to choose between going back to Panathinaikos and winning a EuroLeague title somewhere else, what would it be?
I think I'm winning EuroLeague title. I think I mean that, but that's the one that I'm. That's exactly what I'm doing right now. That's the one. That's the one thing where I had to make a difficult decision for my career. But the best. But listen. But the best thing is winning a EuroLeague title with Panathinaikos.
I figured that was going to be your answer. Like, go to Panathinaikos and win the European title.
My bad. I have to step over the table. My bad.
Yeah, it's not my job to make it easy on you. You're in Unix, and I mean, the team's sixth place. You guys are first place in the VTB, sixth in EuroLeague. I think you're 7-5 right now as we speak. And I've been watching you guys, following you guys. I feel like of those five losses, there might have been two or three of those games that you probably should have won.
We should have won the first two if I wasn't terrible. But, you know, I think the first month was very, you know, get along time. You know what I mean? It's very important for chemistry. And I was also saying it before season started on our interviews and anything. I've seen good teams go bad because, you know, you sign more than three players. You know, it's hard to put them all in a line. And, hey, guys, this is what we want from you. This is what you're going to be doing. And this is the role and this is our play. Like, this is how we're going to play. And I don't want to hear no excuse. I don't want to hear nothing for the whole season if you want this to work. And a lot of people have problems in these teams to get out of their, you know, out of the line and say something like this, which is actually helpful. But here, I think we really established this, you know, not the authority, but we established the entire, all of us in a locker room. We really established ourselves through the bad games.
Right.
You know what I mean? We were like, okay, I was terrible. Guys, what are we doing? Okay, do this. Okay, but like if this happens, and through the talk, through the reps, through the practice, because we really practice serious. And through those games, we really grew together. And now we are playing our best basketball as a product of going through growing times that first month, which is, I mean, we lost 40 points in the final, which is absurd.
Right.
But, you know, it really, that one game had to happen to us. You know, it had to happen. And it's good that happened early.
What's the team's realistic goal this season?
I think for us, you know, we are aiming absolutely for a top eight.
Top eight.
We were absolutely aiming for this because we want to be here next year. We want to be in EuroLeague. But the way we play, the way, you know, we compete, and we really don't see our limits, I think we can go much higher than that. But also, I don't think if that should be said anywhere, you know, because EuroLeague is a very hard league.
Yes.
The teams are very good. Coaches are very good. They prepare very good. I mean, I see it. Trust me, I see that. And I don't really like to make any comments in Europe because anything can happen at any night. And,
right.
You know, you have to show maximum respect to teams in Europe because those guys, you know, maybe they're not the most talented players in the world. This is not the NBA in terms of individual skill, but those guys came every night and really played hard against us. You know what I mean? So they show respect to us. We have to show respect to everyone because this is our first year back in. And I think that's the only way of doing something great in EuroLeague this year.
You know, I think it's, and I'm not saying that because I work with EuroLeague and I commentate the games and everything else, but I think you would probably answer this the same as me or better. The product, the EuroLeague product is, not, I don't want to say 100. So many people get mad at me when I say this, but it's so much better on a night-to-night basis than the NBA.
Yeah.
Because as you're saying right now, I mean, you can't take a night off in the EuroLeague.
And yeah, but people want to eat their burger, drink their cola, and see people dunk.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? People don't want to see...
They don't want to see the game.
Me pressuring the point guard full court and, right. You know, then... passing the ball seven times around and then somebody gets a layup because he cannot breathe anymore on the court and he cannot jump to touch the net anymore. So he just does a layup because they don't see, not a lot of people see the effort in this game, in this level. And I think this is probably the best basketball. If we speak about basketball, this is probably the best basketball in the world. I mean, the most organized basketball.
That's my attitude also because the product is so good. Like we have EuroLeague TV, we have that commercial that says every game matters, you know, and there's no better phrase than that. Like every game does matter and every night that you go out and play matters. But what is one thing that you, from your experience in the NBA, one thing that you would bring from the NBA to Europe within the game? I'm preparing you for the EuroLeague test. I make you think, man. I told you my job is to make it difficult on you, not make it easy.
One thing from there.
Or is there nothing?
I mean, I want to say nothing, but I don't want to be rude. Because really, nothing fits. Honestly, nothing fits. It's a different game. If you bring also sometimes guys here, that are capable should play a little bit more with the NBA tendency, the guys that are capable. I'm saying, you know, sometimes the early shot in the clock is not a bad shot, which it was through the years considered always a bad shot. But if the guy is capable and he is shooting at the, you know, the good clip of those, I think,
let him fire it away, man.
It can be very useful. But then if you have Dimitris or Mr. right here on the bench, you're going to slap the hell out of you when you come out. So, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, high risk, high reward, I guess.
See, you were born too late. If you would have played in my days, but there's like five or six of us playing, and we did it all ourselves, you know?
Yeah. I don't miss those. But yeah, I mean, I really want to say nothing because it's a totally different game.
This is going to be the hard part now. This is where we got to get to. We're going to test your EuroLeague knowledge. And we know that you've been gone for a long time, but you also mentioned that during the interview that you followed EuroLeague a lot. So
let's see who I know.
The crossover test.
I got five questions for you. Each one increments by 10 points. First one's 10, second one's 20, third one's 30, all the way to five is 50. So far this year, Coach Itudis is the only one that's done this. He got 30 points, so I think you should beat him.
Damn.
Yeah.
As long as I don't get zero, let's go.
There's no way you're going to get zero. I can tell you that right now. You ready? Right. Here's the first question. What's the name of the Panathinaikos OPAP Athens Arena?
OAKA.
Also valid as the Olympic Indoor Hall or OAKA, whatever. But
keep it short.
We always hand you 10 points. That's the thing. This is question number two, we're 20 points. Who's the actual coach of Bitsi Baskonia Victoria Gasteiz?
Neven Spahia, but it was Ivanovic.
Evans pocket, 20 points. Plus, there you got 30. You're tied up right now.
Dimitris, I'm after you.
Hey, he was rolling too. This is where he got stuck. Question number three, worth 30 points. Which player has grabbed the most rebounds in EuroLeague history since the year 2000?
I know it was Reyes for Spanish League. It was... I don't know. I want to say Reyes or Hines. I don't know.
Paulius Yankunis.
Oh, no way. I know that.
Yeah. That was your 30 points. All right, here we go. Worth 40 points. When playing EuroLeague games, which team has more victories in the Greek Derby? When playing in EuroLeague games, all right? Which team has the most victories?
I'm saying Panathinaikos. I don't even care.
You say Panathinaikos?
Yeah.
You just lost.
I'm rolling with my team through the good, through the bad. I don't care.
You just lost 40 points, man.
That's fine. I'm leaving with it.
Olympiacos is up 8-7.
No, I don't want to say none of about them. I'm rolling with my team.
All right, here's your 50-pointer to try to beat Dimitris. How many Italian players does AX Armani Exchange Milan have on the roster?
They have Melli. They have a three guy. They have Datome. They have the new guy that just signed. That's four. They have. Let me go quick to the roster.
Take your time.
All right, that's their starting lineup. And four?
Not even close, man. They got seven.
Seven?
Seven.
The hell? I said Melli.
That question surprised me. They have Melli, Ricci,
Datome,
Liga, Mordecini.
You're right. He came, he played against us too. Yep. Oh my God, he got the pass. Okay.
Mordecini, Baldasso.
He just signed him.
Yep. Yeah. Elviti and Luigi Datome.
Yeah, Datome, I knew that.
30 points. Last year's winner was Marios Grigonas.
Really?
Yeah, he won with 70, so don't feel that bad.
I knew something was wrong, but I was stuck with my team.
You could have went against
I took one for my team.
You could have went against your team and won this thing, and you blew it.
Yeah, I didn't want to say.
If you're going to stay dedicated, you got to stay dedicated. Hey, I think the one question I missed through this, and I just remembered it when I was asking these questions I want to get to, before we finish is, you've played in both. You've played in the Clásico and you've played in the Greek Derby.
I didn't play the Derby, but I mean, I've seen it.
Oh, you never played a Derby?
No, they were gone. They were out of the league. They were in the second league. Yeah, but I mean, in my opinion, it's not even close. You know, maybe the only argument, not even that, the only argument that maybe El Clásico wins is, you know, it's, you know, Barcelona, Madrid, they're always good in EuroLeague. You know, Madrid has the most trophies in EuroLeague also. Maybe that basketball argument, you know, it prevails for El Clásico. But I mean, when you have Diamantidis, Panoulis, Printezis, Lucas, all these guys, Batiste, all these guys that were playing in, you know, in those two teams, I think it's not even close to compare both of them, because you get enjoy the game, you see the passion, you see the fans, you know, it's eternal derby. You know, there is only a couple of those in a world. You know, you have, you know, those guys, you know, Fener, Galata, you have us in Greece, you have Boca Juniors, River Plate, and I don't know how many more, other than if we don't talk about the soccer. But this is very not even comparable for me, the Panathinaikos Olympiakos.
I've been to millions of games, I've watched millions of games, and I'm 56, and other than commentating on basketball now, I really don't follow the NBA or anything. I'm not much into it, but I can say that as an ex-athlete, as an ex-basketball player, and at 56 years old, still one of my goals in life is to go to one of those games.
Oh, my God.
I would actually want to go to two of them. I would like to go to the one at Olympiacos and the one at Panathinaikos. That would be like...
Yeah, I mean, you see
the
worst of both of us.
Exactly.
Thing to do, for sure.
I have an advantage in Europe, in Greece, that... When I played with Real Madrid, we beat Olympiacos in the finals in 95. So all the Panathinaikos fans love me.
And yeah, then, but when you go to SEP, you might need to put the
But then another year we knocked Panathinaikos out also. So the Olympiacos fans love me too. So I'm fine in Greece.
You might have to go with me there to see Panathinaikos.
Hey, if I go to a Panathinaikos game, I'm definitely calling you.
Yeah, we might have to go together or you're not getting out.
When I saw you show up in mid-COVID with about 10,000 people like cheering your name, I'm like, that's the guy I want to party with.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Mario, it's been a wonderful experience. I love doing this because I get to know people. You know, you see people from the outside sometimes and you really don't get to know them that well. But I got to know you here during this interview. And I really appreciate you taking the time, being so...
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. It was nice to talk.
Gracious and all that other stuff. I'm looking forward to when you guys come here to Madrid.
For sure. I'll see you there then.
I'll
for
come
sure.
down on Thank the court you. And I'll be sitting right next to your bed. So I'll come give you five there.
Okay. Don't talk crap to me because you will motivate me.
hey, look it. The only thing I ask of you guys when you come to Madrid and I'm doing the games, like just make a spectacular play so I can get the number one play of the week on EuroLeague.
Okay,
you know
okay,
what I mean?
Okay.
That's all I'm asking for.
I'll take care of that.
Mario, take care. Hey, man, good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.